Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show that shares insights into how you can build your business once, with hosts Jerry Lowry and Jennifer Navarrete. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Jennifer Navarrete, and with me is Sherry Lowry, who is sharing her 20-plus years of knowledge on what it takes to build your business once. Now, on today's show, we're going further into business foundations and talking about relationship-based business foundations. Sherry, there's so many different ways that this could go, because when we think about relationship marketing or relationship business, there's a lot of different ways that folks use the term and also use it in business, but there's a lot of nuances in which it can actually be an extremely, extremely powerful part of your business.
Yes, that's right. Well, I'm going to back up just a second to yesterday's show when we talked about the many, many ways we are already being in relationship in our business, because we're going to build right off the back and the shoulders of that. And those references were applying that we're in relationship to clients, to our industry, to our professional colleagues, to our community, to multi-generations and family at the same time, and also to resources, including our banking resources. And we have to stay in relationship to our creative self and our special tribe, and that's going to come back into today. And so what I want to start off with right now is that our whole point is not just to build a business foundation, but also use it to then use it as a springboard into our planned endeavors and services that we want to offer, but also having a bit of a positive safety net and one that we can default to just in case of unwelcome change or any kind of disaster or loss. And so that's a big mouthful, but it is doable, and I'm going to talk about this from a few different perspectives. And in terms of business, how you can do a business plan that will help you step into this a piece at a time and gently in some cases, but also in a deep dive way that is just periodic and kind of intense when you're planning it, but then can carry it out gracefully. So I don't know how far you went into pre-planning your business, Jennifer, because a lot of it evolved organically and naturally for you that you then built upon and expanded. But how much did you want to know at the very beginning of your business, I guess, before you got underway is one of the things we'll talk about today, too.
Right. And I can't say that, you know, that saying, you don't know what you don't know, very much applies to the way that my business naturally and organically was created. I will say that in this past year, I've really shifted a lot of what I'm doing. And most recently, in the last few months, I've really spent a lot of time in the preparation stages for what I want to build in 2018. And it's really developing a new branch of what I offer, which offers, you know, I like to teach, I like to train, I like to talk to folks and show them how they can use these tools or these platforms for their business in new and creative ways that can work for them. So I'm really kind of ramping up that piece of the things I enjoy and have been really intentional about what I have done training-wise, education-wise, and the steps that I'm taking to put it in practice for 2018. So I will say probably maybe for the first time in my business, I've really been extremely intentional. Not to say that I haven't done things intentionally in the past, but it was such an organic flow that I really kind of went with the wave. And this time I'm really kind of drawing that line in the sand and really have some hard things that I'm doing that are very, very strategic and intentional. And it's different and it's fun and it's exciting. And I think this is part of that building your business once, because things become fresh and new and you're even more excited about your business year after year.
Yes, that's exactly the point. That's what we want. We're trying to build a business to keep, not necessarily to spin off and abandon clients and sell out from under them to somebody who knows what direction they'll take it. So this really, we're not talking the type of startup that's kind of like infamous and famous both right now. We're actually talking about building a business foundation that you can reinvent, tweak, add to, expand, you know, condense, shortcut, that type of thing. So I want to talk about a business plan shortcut that I encourage people to use, and we will have two related handouts in the archives for them. The titles are similar, and they go together, but they one is kind of an overview and a descriptor, and the other is more of a how-to. So they're both called the 1 Day Business Plan, and the first one is Shortcut, and that is 10 territories, so to speak, for you to put focus on. And then the second piece that accompanies that and supports it is the 1 Day Business Plan Shortcut Instructions, and so that's what to do with it when you actually sit down to do it. And I'm going to take, this is a big mouthful, and so I want to take breaks periodically here and soundboard with you, Jennifer, about that. Does that sound okay to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. I wrote this up partly because I was not personally able to simply sit down at one point in time for a couple of hours or even a couple of days and actually, because I didn't know enough about my business industry yet, because I was part of creating, it turned out, a whole industry that then followed, but I didn't have guidelines and people and mentors at that time in this particular business. I've become that. And now I have lots and lots of colleagues that I started out with in the early days who have become that. And so there's much more available to the people in wanting to come into my business now than there was when we basically invented the industry. And so because of that, I knew I needed to do it in pieces and in steps, kind of like you're talking about, too, where we now know a whole lot more about what our business is and what it is doing for others and for ourselves than we might have in the actual creation stage of it. So today, the intention is to give you a place to do a deeper dive, to pivot into, you know, for more depth, foundation for your business that you already have, but also some guides and that you may want to pay attention to and evolving it. So the very first thing, and this is the hardest question of all, because it's really, we're both relational and we respond better interactively, you know, in a conversation, but you do need to actually literally sit down and decide what it is you want your business to do for your clients. And so out of that, it helps a lot for that purpose to get easier. It helps a tremendous amount if you do develop a brief business vision and a brief mission purpose and a mission. And I'm going to put my own that I have used both for myself and tweak every New Year's week, and have added to it what a brand new person, kind of some guidelines for a brand new person to create something similar but different that applies to their business and their industry. But this way people can actually see what I'm talking about. So, and I depart from the standard. I want you to be able to actually know what your vision is for your business other than seeing it on a plaque on your wall or having to turn over to the back of your business card to read it. So my vision is for all the people in the world who want to develop a business that leaves them at choice and ongoingly renewing and stepping into their next learning every day and all the way around. That is my vision. Now, my purpose was to be able to qualify to be a part of that kind of business, which meant I had to be learning and evolving and taking the next step every point, every milestone. And my mission was how to actually do that. So if this were in contrast to a, say we want to take a trip, our vision is what our experience on the trip is going to be, and what we're going to be submerged in as an experience. Our purpose is to get ready for it, to pack appropriately, get the right maps, have the right car, have our transportation, and be able to have the banking in place. And then our mission is the step for step, every mile along the journey and all the stopping points and that kind of thing. So you could think of this business evolvement as taking a journey where there is preparation, there's execution, and then there's the whole experience of getting there too. So the shortcut kind of style to doing a business plan is to set an hour and a half to 3 hours aside to begin with and make yourself get in your best working environment, wherever that is, however that is, surrounded by the kinds of things that you know you'll need, so you will not need to get up if needed for at least 3 hours. You can reach everything or have it available for you. Ideally, you do this by yourself. And even if you are going to be building a business or expanding or evolving a business with a team, it's still better if you are the founding person or one of the co-founding persons. You still have this in mind yourself in advance, and so you can come to it full-handed instead of empty-handed, you know, expecting other people to fill in the details there. And so the first step is kind of knowing who you are and what you're up to, which is why we've been building self for, you know, the first 2 weeks or so. The second step is what your objectives are. It may be a little brief biographical detail. What qualifies you specifically? This is a really hard question to answer, but you need to know the answer to that. You need a handful of feasible goals that make sense, that are logical. The blue sky ones are going to come, but they're not coming at this early stage. They're going to come when you need them most, when things are going well and then something goes awry. The blue sky piece comes in very handy then for encouragement and support. And you need to know how your business is going to make you money, and ideally you're going to know at least two ways that it's going to do that. So I'm going to stop right now and ask Jennifer, are we on track with beginning to build a business frame?
I have never heard anyone explain vision, purpose, and mission in such a way that made complete sense. You know, you hear people say, well, your company needs to have a mission statement and it needs to be this, but they never really give you a sense of what it is. And all of a sudden, as you were describing vision as the experience, purpose as the getting ready for the experience, and mission is the step-by-step and mile-for-mile journey and all the stops along the way, I thought that I can understand, that I can put into practice and really keep it at the forefront of some of the things that I'm doing. And so for me, just that one piece was like the huge light bulb moment.
Right. How I came about that, every year I do what amounts to a 17-day, 18-day silent retreat. But I do it in two parts. The first part is really for me personally, and it's more of a spiritual retreat and kind of a life retreat. And the second part is for my how to apply what I derive and gain from that first 10 days or so and then apply it, and then I take a week off, and I go back and take care of my business and my regular life, and then I go back into silent retreat, and that all happens normally in the month of July. And so 1 year, when I was like you, really it was too big for me. The vision, mission, all that stuff was just too big for me. It didn't make enough sense. I couldn't put feet to the path, you know, in it. I could read it. I could print out the business cards. I could create the plaques. And they were kind of nice sounding words, but they weren't giving me guidance or support. And so I have a large book collection. And so I got a camp, like a trunk that kids take to camp, and I put nothing in it except my materials and my books on vision, purpose, mission, and anything related to that, because there's some other things that are pitched in there that Stephen Covey added and a few other people added. I was a fan of Drucker. He had been kind of a vicarious mentor to me. Francis Hesselbein, I mean, on and on and on, all the greats, you know, that you'll remember the names of. I tossed all their books and any materials I had and any coursework I had in that trunk. And that was going to be for my last 7 days of the silent retreat. And I cross-referenced everything, and I mind-mapped it, and I drew it all out. And that was what I came up with, but I came up with it for through an avenue you're going to appreciate. I came up to it through mind map. And we had an art room at the retreat center, and I started, and we were up like at 5:30 or 6 o'clock, and everything was provided for you. You didn't have to, all the meals were provided. It was on 15 acres of woods. It was near a creek. It was it literally was in woods. And so all I had to do is get up and get cleaned up and get dressed, and everything was there, including the art room and the art supply. So I started every morning with an art collage. And I finished every evening with kind of revisiting all of this reading and dissecting and digesting that I was doing. And that's actually how that came up. I made it up from the beginning because I needed a roadmap, and I loved car trips. And it made sense to me to have some kind of a map that would be useful to me and my business and then useful for my clients. So I will share what resulted with you. I did have one advantage a lot of people don't have, and that is that my industry itself provided me with some support, because in the business coaching industry, and I helped write all of this in the very beginning with a fabulous bunch of colleagues that I still have relationships with. We had 11 core competencies, but we also had professional standards that we had documented that we wanted to live up to. So that helped me too, that a lot of people don't have, but you, when you see what the competencies are and what the professional standards are, you can probably make your own up for your own industry if it doesn't publish that kind of thing. So we've gotten as far as who you are, what it is you actually want to do with your targeted, you know, well-identified clients. We talked earlier about identifying who those people are. You are, and so you have to know your characteristics of your perfect client or your perfect company or corporate, you know, group of clients. And you also best have an initial project in mind that's very specific. And this is key, and this is part of your tribe, and this is also part of your community and part of your business colleague relationships. You have to have alliances. You have to have people along with you that you can acquire these as you go if you don't have them in the beginning. But you really want to have people who want you to succeed and whose success you're both a cheerleader and a referral to, because we're going to get to referrals before we finish this week here. So that's where we are right now with how we're outlining this. Jennifer, we're through number 3. We have to get to number 10. So do you have any chiming in you want to do right here?
I'm taking rapid notes, so I would like for you to continue. I'm sure our listeners feel exactly the same way.
Okay. This is also hard to document. This is number four. But I promise you the pain's about to be over because you're going to be real impressed with what you end up with. So be truthful. What are your principal roadblocks in terms of money, time, energy? Remember, we have wallet wealth that goes beyond cash and cash flow. So in terms of money, time, energy, political and economic benefits and assets that you may have, and that gets back to community and various relationships, what about the environment is on your side? The timing was so perfect for me. People were so ready for a new approach to business, and consultants were not doing it for them because it wasn't a how-to. They were needing, at the time I came on the scene, with the very beginning of the seed planting of what became the business coaching and then the executive business coaching industry, that it was not about remediation or getting better. In fact, I discovered early on for my client base, I never had a single client who needed a mediocre weakness. So I never did focus my business like so many other business coaches did and corporations did on people who needed improvement. I always focused it on owners and founders and people who were actually loving parts and pieces of what they were doing, but they were also having that experience of what's next, or is this all there is kind of a thing. They were wanting to do more. They were wanting to do it better. They were wanting to do it on a new level, and they wanted to be in more relationship with their staff as well as their clients than the transactional business type practice and environment that we had almost all inherited. So, and then in this number four, what you have going for you in the various arenas, and I will share this outline with you. You also have to do the down and dirty and truthful talking work about the competition. Who is your natural competition? Who is and what is your potential competition that will be disruptors? These will be brand new entities on the scene, because if you're fortunate and if you're successful, you will be copied. That actually is a compliment, though it didn't feel like it at the time it's starting to happen. When your stuff gets ripped off, or your style, you know, gets mimicked, or people try to do what you're doing in a different way and calling it maybe something else, that's competition. And one of the key kind of suggestions about competition is, first, think of it as how there are possible collaborations between you, because, and also, see, that's a real cue for differentiation, which we're going to be talking about too. If you can take what other people are starting to do, pivot from that and differentiate it into another totally new arena for you, that is a really good way to begin to figure out how you can kind of split the market with competition and let them take their piece of it in a direction they want to take, but change yours. That also helps with your reinvention kind of thing. So that's part four, is the principal roadblocks and also what the alternatives may lead to or evolve out of that when you identify a roadblock. Can you reframe it into, so this is happening, then what if I do that type thing? Number five is exactly how you are going to be in contact and reach your client market, and this is where your differentiation begins and your product, service, and marketing strategy. And you do need some support for some of this, but mostly you need focus, 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 and more focus. And the reason we're doing this shortcut, and the reason I'm asking you to take 1.5 to 3 hours with these 10 topic areas, if not for you to do all the work on them yourself, but to end up with gaping voids in some of these sections, number 1 through 10, that will just get your attention really obviously. What we're looking for here is not a marching plan of actions and steps that you personally have to take, but we want to find out where are you strong, which of these 10 do you know a lot about yourself, and can you yourself be a resource for, versus which of these 10 are starving to death naked, and you actually know very little about them. You haven't done market studies. You haven't researched the demographics. I mean, they're just stuff that you don't know. That's going to tell you what we're going to go to colleagues and collaborating strategists, possible alliances, possible partnerships, so you find out ahead of time what you have depth and strength and awareness in, what areas of these 10, and where are you absolutely not the one to probably do that unless you have a lot of time to get the expertise. So this is, again, basing on relationship that you will cultivate, and there's going to be some requesting ask of you. It's hard to ask, but you're going to find out. You have been almost everybody who's going to do this kind of approach. They also have a servant leader kind of a natural tendency. They already have done a lot for other people that they don't keep score about, so they don't necessarily know. They don't have a sense anybody owes them anything. But they do have a whole repertoire that they can go out and ask for help. And once they start to realize that, the people are very, very grateful to give the help, because you have been a contributor in so many times, in so many cases, as an owner of anything or a great staff person to other people who are more than happy to help you get this underway, especially if they'd like to see what you're doing, have it exist. So we're through with number 5. We're halfway, and we're going to be running out of time, so we may want to also make this a two-part thing. I'm going to play off you, Jennifer. Keep going, or do you want us to wrap up for today?
I think stopping at 5 is a really good spot, because this is a whole lot to digest, and I think the challenge of trying to get 10 into a single show is that it's going to be fast and furious, as opposed to giving each one of time that they need. And I really would like to dive into the second half on tomorrow's show, and that way folks have a chance to really sit in and kind of really sit inside of each of those sections, because it's that impactful. I mean, I'm just feeling that wow right now.
Okay.
Maybe it's just me. Maybe the audience is like, no, keep going. But I'd really like to
Right. Well, they can come back
tomorrow.
Be available. All right, to give you an overview of tomorrow, then what we're going to get into is what makes you think you can succeed. Why you, why this, and why now, and how? And that gets into what are your skills, what's your experience, what's your attitude? And then we're going to talk about tools and some of the technologies that are going to be important to your firm's success. I'll count on you to bring a little bit of expertise forward on that. And then your product and service strategy. And we've already spent some time in the past sessions on strategy, and we'll pull that forward and apply it. And then what 3 habits, and think about this for tomorrow, what 3 habits already existing are that you need to form? What are they that are already in your favor? What are the good things you're already doing for yourself that you want to be able to count more extensively on and build into and onto in a deeper way? And what personal commitments that you can declare will support your success going forward? And then we'll get a little bit into financial projection. We'll talk about your market realistically in 2 years and what your response is to, changing products, services, and financial projections. And now what we're going to do with this, it's going to inform you how much help you need, maybe who you want to contract with might come to mind, or do you have colleagues you can trade with or barter. And number 10 is actually to summarize, to extract from these previous 9, a little bit from each section, and generate your 2-paragraph executive summary. And we'll get back into more of that tomorrow.
Folks, you're not going to want to miss tomorrow's show. It's just been a small percentage of the value that I've been fast and furiously writing over here, and that I'm going to go back and actually listen to the show again to make sure I didn't miss anything while I was writing, then you're going to definitely want to stay tuned to tomorrow's show. Thank you, Sherry.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Set a reminder for 9:30 a.m. Central every day in the month of November to listen to daily episodes of the Build Your Business Once show.